We're continuing our study in the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel. This chapter is dedicated to recording the kindness that David showed to the seed of Jonathan for Jonathan's sake. And we learn that he has found one person, a man named Mephibosheth, who is the son of Jonathan. And he is staying at Lodebar with a person called Machir. David was able to locate Mephibosheth by asking an old-time servant of the house of Saul, a man named Ziba, where he was located. And so as soon as David finds him, then we find in verse 5, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. So he sends and brings Mephibosheth to his own area there at Jerusalem. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. So we realize that Mephibosheth has a great respect for David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And this reminds us of one of the times when David was in the presence of Jonathan. And Jonathan had been very generously kind to David and even helped to save his life. That David then fell on his face to Jonathan. He fell on his face and bowed three times. This is recorded in 1 Samuel 20, verse 41. So we find that respect is returned then by the seed of Jonathan to David. And David said, Mephibosheth. Now, he no doubt was able to remember this son. He was 5 years old at the time that Jonathan was killed. David had probably held him in his lap when he was a little child. He was quite close and familiar with the family of Jonathan. They were closer friends than brothers, as a matter of fact. And so, here years later, when Mephibosheth is now a grown man and has a family of his own, David sees him for the first time, and he said, Mephibosheth. He recognizes him. And he answered, Behold thy servant. So Mephibosheth continues to display this great regard and respect for David, and he presents himself then to David as a servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. Now, Mephibosheth might have had a reason to fear, all right. For here he was a close relative of Saul, who was the sworn enemy of David. Saul, who had tried upon many occasions to put David to death and made life most miserable for him for several years. He was also a close relative to Ishbosheth, who had usurped the throne for some 7 to 10 years now. And finally, at his death, David was able to unite the kingdom. So he might have had good reason to fear. David could have had a very much of an attitude of animosity toward him, and David might have even felt some justification in wanting to put him out of the way because he could have been a future threat to the throne. But David said, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. So I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to do all that I can to assist you. I will not do anything to harm you. I'm going to show love to you. And of course, let us remember that David did have an obligation to do this due to the fact that he had made this covenant with Jonathan. And in this covenant with Jonathan, Jonathan had had him to promise that not only would he take care of Jonathan and remember Jonathan, but that he would also remember his seed. And so this is simply a fulfillment of the promise that he made to Jonathan. So he said, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Now, after this point, evidently, Mephibosheth didn't have any control or any claim upon the land that had belonged to Saul. This had seemed to have been forfeited as a result of the great conflicts that had been in the kingdom up to this time, and when Abner and Ishbosheth had revolted and formed another kingdom of the 11 tribes besides Judah. But now he is telling Mephibosheth that I'm going to give thee all the land of Saul thy father. And this seems to have been quite a considerable holding, for we learned in earlier chapters that Saul's father was quite a wealthy man. This is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and 1 and also chapter 22 verse 7. Saul's father was a mighty man of substance. He had fields and vineyards to bestow. So Saul evidently had a very good estate, and this was quite a gift to Mephibosheth to have this land restored into him. So David is going to do some great things for Jonathan's son. And not only that, not only will he restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, but he says, thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. So you're going to be a personal guest at my table. What I eat, you're going to be allowed to eat. You're going to be a welcome guest in my house. I'm going to treat you as though you were my son. You shall eat bread at my table continually, so that this son of Jonathan would never have any want. He's going to have a good estate. He's going to be able to eat bread at David's table continually, and so he can live truly as though he is a member of a royal family. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? So Mephibosheth truly has an air of humility about him. He could have said, well, David, you owe me these things. Why were you so long in giving me what you're offering me now? Why have I had to do without all these years? Why have I been such a castaway? And he could have also said, you want me to eat at your table, that just so you can keep an eye on me, so you can watch me. But no, Mephibosheth has a very humble attitude. He calls himself a dead dog. That is, he has probably long considered himself to be inferior because of his lameness. He was too young to remember the great glory that went with being a grandson of the king and a son of the prince Jonathan. And so he then has a true air and sense of humility. And we find that this humble attitude in no wise prevents him from getting those things that David wants him to have. And it is certainly a mark of a high character on the part of Mephibosheth to humble himself in this way. Verse 9, then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. So the matter is now settled with Mephibosheth, and David called Ziba to be a witness of the fact that he has given all of Saul's estate to Mephibosheth and to all his house, so that there is no question about the fact that this has been done. It's an official act, and Ziba is called upon to witness this. And then he says in verse 10, thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. So he also commissions Ziba and his family and his servants to work for Mephibosheth, to be their servants, to till the ground, to gather the fruits, and to be sure then that Mephibosheth and his house had plenty. But David adds a little footnote, and he says that Mephibosheth shall eat bread always at my table. It's not going to be necessary for him to have anything to eat for you to do this, for you to till the land, for you to gather the fruit, because he's going to have a place at my table always. I have made arrangements for him to be able to eat with me from now on. As long as I have a table, Mephibosheth shall have a place there. And now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. So we see that this was quite an entourage of people that we're talking about whenever we're talking about Ziba and his sons and his servants. 15 sons and 20 servants. 35 people. And this doesn't include, I'm sure, all of their families. So that there could have been 100 to 200 people involved here, so that this estate that Mephibosheth is inheriting is going to be maybe hard-pressed to support all this great number of people. But nevertheless, this is the way David has arranged for it to be, and we can see that he is doing all within his power to adequately care for the offspring of Joshua. This would certainly fulfill his agreement with Joshua. This would in every manner and every detail do all that David could to care for this offspring of Joshua. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. So Ziba's agreeable to this. This is a satisfactory arrangement for him, and he is certainly willing to do this. He's going to move in and care for this estate of Saul, which now has become that of Mephibosheth. And although it's not stated here, we're going to see that Ziba eventually becomes very unfaithful to Mephibosheth in chapter 16, verse 3, which we will get to in the future. Ziba tries to take these things that belong to Mephibosheth and cash in on them for his own benefit and his own glory. So he does not remain as faithful as he should have to his master. Verse 12, and Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. Now, this would be the one that would carry on the traditions and the name of the family of Mephibosheth, and consequently the family of Saul, the son named Michael. We also conclude from this that Mephibosheth must have been in his late teens or early 20s. He's probably in the vicinity of 22 or so years old for him to have had this son. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So that would mean there's 35 people that are named earlier and their families. They all then are servants unto Mephibosheth. And back in the 11th verse is a statement made that seems to be made by Ziba, in which he says, as for Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. So he makes the offer for Mephibosheth to eat at his table too, although we know that it was to be at David's table that he would eat. And in that statement, there is the phrase inserted, as for Mephibosheth, said the kings, as though David may have said this. But the Bible scholars seem to think that phrase, said the king, shouldn't be there. And so this was actually Ziba making the offer for him to eat at his table. In verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. So this came to pass. He dwelt in Jerusalem, and as we know, the estate of Saul was up in the tribe of Benjamin, so he didn't really stay on this estate that much, but he made his home in Jerusalem. He was allowed to eat at the table of David, and this then means that to some extent he was a house guest in the palace of the king. Now we'd like to take note of the fact that because David was a type of Christ, his Lord and Son, his root and offspring, let his kindness to Mephibosheth serve to illustrate the kindness and love of God and our Savior towards fallen man. Now, our Savior was under no obligation to do this to man as David was to Jonathan. Man was convicted of rebellion against God, and like Saul's house, he was under a sentence of rejection from him. Was not only brought low and impoverished, but he was lame and impotent, made so by the fall, much like Mephibosheth. The Son of God inquires after this degenerate race that inquired not after him. He comes to seek and to save those that did not seek after him. To those of them that are humble before him and that commit themselves to him, he restores the forfeited inheritance. He entitles them to a better paradise than that which Adam had lost. And he takes them into communion with himself. He sets them with his children at his table, and he feasts them upon the great things of heaven. So it's very plain for us to see how these actions of David in caring for the offspring of Saul are certainly typical of the actions of Christ as he then cares for us today. So that brings to a conclusion the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel. Now we're ready to begin this 10th chapter.